Blog Talk Radio.
This is George Gamond, and it's the Friday show. So what are we going to talk about? I thought we'd get into the holidays a little bit, or Christmas. So what do you call it? What do you say? Merry Christmas? Happy Holidays? What's your background? You know, I have a friend on Facebook who's really adamant about everybody saying Merry Christmas. And that's cool. I have no disagreements with that whatsoever, but I have a lot of Jewish friends. And I have a lot of Muslim friends. And I have a lot of friends who are not Christian, not affiliated with, you know, they're kind of New Thought people. So they don't necessarily prescribe to a strict Christian doctrine. So for me, Happy Holidays is kind of a safe thing. But I do would say Merry Christmas. If somebody says Merry Christmas to me, I'll say Merry Christmas back to them. I believe in the spirit and the time of the year. And yes, and yeah. And I look at Jesus as a great prophet and teacher. And in my channeling, I've actually channeled Jesus. So, okay. So what are we going to do today? So, I have an article I thought it would be rather interesting. I have a couple of different things. But one I thought about, it was from Health Magazine. It was 25 ways to fight holiday stress. And I thought, that's about as appropriate as we can get this time of year. Because you realize right now, at this moment in time, let me look this up. We are about 8 days and so many minutes from Christmas. 8 days, so many hours. Where was it? Oh, okay. I lost it. But 8 hours and something. So eight days. So we're not very far from Christmas Day. And so whether you celebrate it or not, it's kind of an exciting time of the year. I love the lights and so forth. I know I have a caller. I'll be with you in a minute. Just kind of rambling a little bit. Got into kind of a little bit more of a political thing this morning. And political. I was going to get into politics and spirituality, but I kind of backed off of that at the last minute. I thought, nah, we'll stay on a real positive holiday theme. I do have a nice little article from Pam Grout about manifesting, getting what you want in life, and putting it out to the universe to get what you want. Now, is that important to you? I have a caller. So I will take the call and see where we go from here, because today it's kind of about the holidays and more about things that make you feel good. How to get into that feel good place? How do I inspire you to feel good? That's kind of where I'm at, because that's where we should be at. Feeling good, feeling happy, you know, feeling joyful. Okay, let me take the call and we'll do that article, because there's lots of different points in there we can stretch out a little bit. Maybe I'll let my spirit guides talk to you a little bit later. They like to jump in and have a few minutes with you. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Kathy.
And hi, Kathy. How are you?
Good. Now, I said Merry Christmas today, and somebody said to me, Happy Holidays.
Well, see, that's everybody's preference, though, right?
Right, it is.
Yeah, my friend on Facebook, who has become much more conservative over the years, very conservative, and I never knew her as much of a religious person, is getting all upset because people at stores, you know, clerks and so forth, don't say Merry Christmas to her. And I thought, I don't know, you know. And we live in Southern California, and she lives in California and some other state. But the area that she lives, there's a lot of Jewish people, And I'm sure that the stores go, you know, you got to be careful of this. You don't want to offend people coming in. So Merry Christmas is not the easiest thing to say. So, my friend, I kind of will, you got to be careful with that. You know, corporations don't want to offend. You ever seen these commercials on TV? It's crazy. You know, they never say Merry Christmas anymore.
Not anymore, no. Nope.
Well, I'm okay with that. I understand their sensitivities. They don't want to offend Jewish people or Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or whatever else it might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not of the same faith, people aren't, never mind. What's going on with you? We'll leave that one alone. We'll drop that topic altogether. Enough of that, beating that one. Beat that one today.
A message from spirit guides about anything?
Anything. Like life is wide open.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's going on, though? Let me have them come talk to you for a minute. I'm going to go away. I'll back away and let them come in. You said Kathy, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just want to make sure that they... Well, first off, we have to make a very simple statement to you. You're blessed, and you know that. You know that, right? You know that.
Yes.
If you look into your heart, you know that. You know, sometimes you have days when you go, I don't know about that blessed stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But overall, you're in a good place. I mean, the fact that you didn't have questions and you have no real, burning topic that you need to talk about means that you're in a good place in life. Nothing so overwhelming that you're going, I need some advice, I need some advice, right?
Right. Now, I'm on my spiritual journey, but I don't know where I'm going yet.
there was a question, a need to know something more about your purpose, right?
Yeah, but they never tell anybody when I have a reading, so I guess they want me to figure it out myself.
Well, there's a certain amount of truth to that. There's a certain, but in on the spiritual journey, there's only a few things that you can possibly do. Right? There's not like this whole gamut of opportunities out there that you can explore. You can be a healer, right?
Right.
Or you can be a writer, correct? You can write about spiritual themes, or you can be a prophet. Yeah, call it psychic, but we'll call it prophet because we tell people about the potential future of their lives and what's going on, right? I like the word prophet. We like the word prophet versus psychic. You know, it sounds kind of scary.
Medium, or right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, mediums are cool.
They are.
We let George talk to dead people from time to time. It's okay. Yeah. Family members have really important messages for people. And, there's nothing wrong with that in the sense that you get messages that give you hope. Because then you recognize there is something in the non-physical world, they're happy. They're having fun. They're joyful. Hey, I get to go there someday myself. The more you hear it, the more you believe, right? The more you hear it, the more you believe.
I'm just waiting to hear it.
Hear what?
From loved ones.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get into that a little bit. Let's help you with that because we would say anyone can. Anyone can. Now, not necessarily get words, but you can get various things happening in your life that you know that they're trying to reach out to you. You get physical responses sometimes. Okay? Okay, who do you want to reach out to? Who would you rather reach out to?
My father.
Okay, do you have pictures of your father?
I do. I'm looking at him.
Okay, do you have pictures of your father when he was healthy and younger? 30-something.
Yeah. Yeah, in the service, huh? Yeah.
Okay, so take a look at those pictures and talk to him.
Okay.
And visualize him or feel of him being healthy and being just in a really good place. Not sad, not depressed, not towards the end of a life, but just being really happy. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then ask him a question. Ask him any question. And then wait for a response. You may not get words, but you'll get answers. You're familiar with the word synchronicity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we would say to you. This is what we get for you more than anything. Get paper and pen when you ask a question and just sit down and start writing. And as you write, you'll get his message. You don't have to worry about what you're writing at first. You could be writing a recipe. It doesn't matter. But as you start to write, you'll get his message from you. It will come into you. That's what we feel about you. This automatic writing will respond to you. Pen and pencil or paper or pen or paper or something. Just not a typewriter or a computer or anything like that, but actually paper and pen. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Look at his picture, ask a question, and then start writing and see what happens.
Okay, I'll try it.
And, you know, and don't worry about what you're writing at first. It could be anything. You know, you could just start off writing about your day and what you're doing, and then gradually the words will come to you to write about something. So be an open page. Be open. Just let whatever comes through come through as you start to write, and you'll get his messages.
I do get a lot of angel messages during the day. Like today, it was 11:11 and 1:11.
Okay, but you got paper, right?
I was driving.
Not right this minute, but when you
I got paper and pen. Yeah.
Okay, then when you get an opportunity, look at his picture, and do that, and ask a question, and see what you get. You'll be surprised the message, and then that'll open you up to other ones. Okay, spirit guides. It'll open up to other relatives. It'll open up to famous people if you're so inclined and so interested to get messages from.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay? Try it. You'll have fun with it. Okay? Take care.
All right.
Okay. Bye now.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. I'm back. Whew, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you're still there.
I am.
Yeah. Okay. Let me put you on hold, and then we'll get back to the show. I'm still coming back in here. I'm trying to. Okay. That was fun. Yeah. Spirit was kind of interesting there. They had this their idea. I saw the. You know, they show me pictures sometimes, and when they were talking to the lady, they show me a pen and paper. Like, oh, it's time for her to use pen and paper. That she can write this down. I don't know why. I don't know why she would write this down versus any other way, but try it. Anybody out there? Well, I guess that's the message from Spirit Guides today, how to get messages. Maybe they have some more to say in general about things. I'll do that, and then I'll get into the article and see how much time I have left. Okay, about 30 minutes, roughly. Let them talk to you about the holidays. Oh, that's good. I like that. We got 8 days and so many hours left to Christmas. For us, this is an encore performance. We get to speak again through George to you about the holiday season. And why the holiday season? Why do you celebrate things? I know obviously you'll say you're celebrating the birth of Jesus and the Savior and his coming to the earth to present a message to mankind of hope and love and peace and salvation. That's the obvious answer that you would have. But the holiday season is much more than that, because the holiday season goes way before Jesus. It does, believe it or not, and goes way after Jesus. And it's been celebrated in many different ways in many different cultures. But it's interesting, if you go into the history of that time of year, it's the end of the year. It's the beginning of a new year. It's the ending of a cycle. It's the beginning of a new cycle. So you could say in so many words, it's a rebirth into light, from the darkness into the light. Think of it that way. The last day of the year, and then gradually the light comes back and you're back in the light. So it's a celebration of light. It's a celebration of rebirth or birth, however you want to look at it. But it's a celebration of your rebirth. You can look at the end of the year, the beginning of the new year, is your opportunity to celebrate your rebirth every year. Now, you do it at your birthdays, obviously, but for humanity as a whole and through the ages, it's an opportunity to look forward to new. It's a celebration of new. It's a celebration of upcoming new light into the world, an opportunity for new beginnings. And so you give presents and you have light and you have parties and you celebrate with each other. Because what are you celebrating? Whether you call it Christmas or the holidays, you're celebrating birth. You're celebrating new. Excuse George, but mostly him. It's celebrating an opportunity for new. So take this time of the year as an opportunity for each one of you to look at your lives, yourself for new. Open up yourself for new opportunities, new directions, a rebirth every year of something new coming into your life. Love, prosperity, kindness, generosity, compassion. And we would also say to you, it's an opportunity of rebirth of the connection that you have with your soul, your higher self. It's an opportunity, being a spiritual time of the year for many different customs, to take the sacred part of the year and focus on you're coming and reconnecting with something greater than yourself. Call it God, call it Source, call it the universe. Put a name on it, doesn't matter. If you put a name on it, call it Jesus, whatever you wanted to call it. But it's an opportunity for you to reconnect at a soul level, at a higher place, a higher energy with something that will inspire you to create new in your life. It's an opening of that channel, opening of that connection to something greater than you, that rebirth within you of new opportunities as you're directed by the greater part of yourself. I know you don't like to think of it this way, but you're kind of a puppet. You're a puppet for your higher self. Now, you could be dangling there doing, you know, just without any purpose. Or you can reconnect with your higher self and let your higher self pull the strings, direct you. Because your higher self is nothing more than you. It's really you. Your soul, your higher self is you. It's where your purpose is. It's where your direction is at. A lot of you go on autopilot and just dangle through life, cruise through life. Or you can have real purpose. You can have real direction in your life. You can have a real sense of being by connecting to your higher self, the soul part of you, the greater part of you, the part of you that's in the non-physical realm. And when you connect with that part and really become, well, we'll use a better word than puppet. We'll use the word you become an enlightened aspect of yourself in a physical form. We like that, an enlightened part of yourself in a physical form. When you embrace that greater part of yourself and envelop yourself in that part, and where that one in the soulful part and the human part become one in purpose, you can do magnificent things. You can be very creative. You can just do amazing things in your life. And you'll live a fulfilled and purposeful life. So it's the time of the year to stop. In the sacred time of the year for whatever customs you believe in, just stop for a moment and say, I want to connect to that part of myself, that greater part of myself. Because when I connect there, my life has real purpose. My life has real meaning. I'm no longer questioning where I'm at. I know where I'm going. And do it. Just do it. Live that passion. It's in you. I'll let it come out. It's not like you're reconnecting with something far away off in the universe somewhere and off in the clouds somewhere. No, it's inside you. You're really connecting with something inside you. It's part of you. It's always part of you. So you're just reconnecting with that part of yourself that's part of Source, God. And by connecting with that part of yourself, then you have real purpose. So this season, this holiday season, take some time. Focus on reconnecting or strengthening that connection. And when you focus on that connection and strengthen that connection, then you'll have real direction in life. You really know where you're going. There will be no question marks. Okay, we'll leave you with that. I know George has things he wants to talk about. So it's a beautiful time of the year. Enjoy it. Celebrate new. Celebrate new opportunities. Celebrate those new opportunities that are deep within you. Already there. You just have to open up to it. Thank you for listening. Bye. Okay, I'm back. I popped out. Yeah, I think they were going like, okay, we've spent enough about this. Yeah, let's move on here. Time to move on. Let's don't get too whatever heavy. Yes. Okay. Back to the article. Stressful time of the year. In this stressful time of the year, we wonder ourselves, what are we going to do? You know, how can we overcome the anxiety? So let me get into the article a little bit and see if there's some really good points that you can use. If so, you know, maybe one or two of the 25 or so that you'll find interesting for you, and then kind of go with them. Okay, so 25 ways to fight holiday stress by Lori Pollink Kenyon. So holiday stress busting tips. And these are expert-endorsed ways from various therapists and so forth about ways of fighting the holiday stress. Number one, I like this. And actually, I met this expert. We're on the phone. We've talked. She's a Facebook friend. It's hike your mood with sunlight. It stimulates the production of feel-good serotonin and also helps relieve seasonal affective disorder, SAD, which impacts millions of Americans every year, says Judith Orloff, MD, an assistant professor of psychiatric at UCLA. To ease SAD symptoms, spend time outdoors or near a window on sunny days. Or ask your doctor about a phototherapy, a treatment using a box that emits full spectrum light. Now you can get full spectrum lights for your room too, and I've heard about that. So a treatment. So it'll get you out of the funk a little bit. Holiday, the light, you know, we're getting to the end of the year, right? The 21st is like we're starting a new cycle. So try that. If you know the lack of sun affects you, then do something about it. It'll help you. I like this one. Take whiffs of citrus. Researchers in studying depression have found that certain citrus fragrances boost feelings of well-being and alleviate stress by upper levels of a certain hormone that affects mood. Why not? It's norepinephrine, which is the hormone. So that's like really, that's a big old word. You know, it's like all those 17-letter words. Okay. For all-day pickup relief, a dab of lemon or orange essence oil on a handkerchief to tuck into your pocket. That's kind of a cool idea. I don't know how many people use handkerchiefs anymore, right? A tissue of some kind, essence. Or, you know, you can get the essence of the oil, and if you're so inclined, if you don't mind smelling that way, take a little bit and put it under your nose or on your body somewhere, like, you know, behind the ear where you can smell it. And so you have that essence of orange with you all day, kind of brighten your mood a little bit. Ooh. So boost that well-feeling. You know, you're a little stressed out, a little orange sniff. How about just eating an orange and smelling it, right? But the essence of orange. I had a friend who made essences, you know, and that's one that she made, and I remember using samples of it. It was kind of fun. It's good. Feels good. Lemon or orange. Maybe that's why they use lime with tequila. I don't know. Walk away from worries. I like that. The rhythm and repetition of walking has a tranquilizing effect on your brain, and it decreases anxiety and improves sleep, says nutrition and wellness expert Ann Kulze, K-U-L-Z-E, M-D. Aim for a brisk half-hour walk every day. And also helps with blood pressure. If you got a little on the edge of, so the brisk walk is really important. The briskness, not the stroll, not the meandering, you know, but the brisk part of it's really what's good for you. Me and my dog walk. We try to do that. I've been brisk walking more lately and get my dog out there brisk walking with me. It's good for you. But then you got to stop every once and smell the roses or look in the windows or say hi to somebody, right? But about 30 minutes a day is good if you can do it. Or you can break it up. Why not just break it up? Better sleep with 5-HTP. This plant extract, available in capsules at most drugstores, is thought to increase serotonin, reduce anxiety, and improve sleep. So it's called 5-HTP. So look for it. Read up on it. Look it up on Google. Right. Dr. Orloff recommends 150 milligrams daily. If you take antidepressant medications, talk to your doctor before trying it. So it's 5-HTP. Look it up. See if it's something that you want to do. No recommendations. I've never tried it. I'm not sure about it one way or the other. But that, just putting it out there. Holiday season, there's always things that you can do to make you, you know, because you get all stressed out. You don't even want to sleep. Or you can't get to sleep. That's usually the problem, right? Some people will drink alcohol to get to sleep, and then, you know, 2 hours later, right? They're wide awake. Okay, squeeze here. Now, that's going to sound strange. Squeeze here. Well, look at your hand. Take a look at your hand. Look at your hand right now. This fleshy place between the index finger and the thumb is called a hoku spot in Chinese medicine. Applying firm pressure there for just 30 seconds can reduce stress and tension in your upper body. So if you start to feel overwhelmed by the holiday chaos, give your hand a squeeze and take a deep breath. Now, have you found that place? It's between the thumb and the that little fleshy part right there. And you squeeze it for about 30 seconds. I squeeze it really hard. I'm doing it for you right now. See if I feel like 100 times better, right? Try it. Just try it. It's the hoku spot in Chinese medicine, H-O-K-U. Now, if you look up hoku on the internet, Google it, it'll probably show you where that is. Let me, you know, while we're playing with this and having some fun, I'm going to look it up and see if they give me a picture of it. And then you can do the Google thing on it. Nope, I don't think it's going to give it to me. Oh no! According to them, it's a musical group, so we don't want to do there. No, wait a minute. I'm looking it up for you. It's not a musical group, okay? So you might want to look it up and see if you can find it as a place in Chinese medicine. Look it up as hoku in Chinese medicine, and you might be able to find it, okay? And let's just leave that one alone. Let's move on. Let's get past that one. That's just going to be like too crazy for all of us, right, to spend too much time on that one. So, yeah, just that spot between the thumb and the index finger. Do less, enjoy more. We go overboard to please others during the holidays. Shopping, cooking, sending cards, and attending every event, says George Pratt, PhD, a psychologist at Scripps Memorial Hospital, La Jolla in California. Instead, take care of yourself by saying no at least once and maybe more. You don't have to do everything. I know. I got to do everything. You know, they're expecting me. No, say no. You know what? Just explain why. I don't like to get overwhelmed during the holidays. I just want to have some fun. I want to relax. I want to enjoy the season. I'm not going to do as much. You guys do it. Invite me. I'll come, right? Invite me. I'll come. I like this one. It's kind of an interesting one. Stick with your daily routine. Prioritize your workouts, book club, and don't try to squeeze in more holiday than you can handle, says Catherine Mueller, psychologist, an assistant professor of psychology at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York City. What's the key point here? You don't want to overstress, so don't squeeze in everything more than you can handle. You know, it's like, think about saying no to certain things. Nope, sorry, I can't make it. Nope, can't marry. I like the next point. I like a lot of these. These are kind of fun stuff, right? Don't neglect whatever cracks you up. Laughing like crazy reduces stress hormones. That, in turn, helps immune cells function better, says psychologist Steve Wilson, founder of the World Laughing Tour, an organization that offers therapeutic laughing training. Now I would look him up. Psychologist Steve Wilson, the World Laughing Tour. Doesn't that sound like fun? Laugh more. Funny movies. Especially if you're alone during the holidays. Maybe this is like, or your family, or myself. My family's in Colorado. I'm in California. A little more laughter. A little more humor. You know, during the holiday season is really good. Moving right along. Okay, let me check back with you guys and see if anybody wants to talk to me. Nope, you're there. Okay, whoever's there is there, right? So we'll go through some more of these things because they're interesting. It's like things you have to do or should do. I shouldn't have. No, you don't have to do anything, do you? You don't absolutely have to do anything. Okay, forget perfection. Stop us obsessing over doing it all. We're back to that theme again is don't take on so much. The world is not going to end if the house is a little cluttered or dinner is on the table a few minutes late. You know, don't be such a perfectionist, right? Focus your energy on enjoying the people in your life. Yeah, it's not the meal, it's the people, right? I know some people have to have. The director of program for Family Care Center Alliance says, don't sweat the small stuff. Enjoy your... and your holiday would be more enjoyable. Yeah, just have some more fun. You know, if it isn't perfect, don't worry about it. It's really the people that you're with and having fun and laughing and carrying on. As much as I don't like them, maybe because I don't like preparing them because I'm a vegetarian, but potlucks are probably one of the better ways of doing it. Everybody bring something, you know, bring something, just bring something, right? And everybody shows up with a bottle of wine. I could tell you about your friends right away, right? Everybody shows up with a bottle of wine and you have no food. Oh, well, I guess forget the food stuff, right? But I like the next one too. I like all of these. Well, most of them. Get out of the house. If your family's members often pick on one another at the holiday table, taking the fun out of meals, you got kids, and they're talking about kids, right? Or, you know, certain relatives. You got an uncle that's just like, oh, God. Consider eating family brunches or dinners in restaurants. Being in public discourages loud voices and bad behavior, says Mueller. I'm not sure about the bad behavior on that one. I've seen some kids out in public that you kind of go, really? Seriously? And it's hard to tie down kids for an hour in a restaurant. Be good, right? Yeah, sure. Sure. But it's an idea. Take them out of their environment. They will behave a little differently. And especially if they know what's expected of them. And especially if they get food they like. You know, if you're taking kids out to meals, and I believed this a long time ago, you can try to mix in really quality, healthy foods. And if you raise them on a healthy diet, that's cool. And that's a really good thing to do. But when you go out to eat, make sure you take them someplace where they'll find something they like, they'll enjoy. That's really important in taking kids out to lunch. You know, if they're big chicken people or whatever, pizza people or little people or whatever it is. You know, for that one meal, you may just want to kind of go, okay, they can eat what they want. You know, this is good for them. And you may have to sacrifice the kind of place that you go to. But if you get away, get out of the house, give the kids something they like, and I'm sure you'll find something you like. That's my opinion of it. How many times in raising children do we try to drag them out to restaurants and they're looking at the food going, oh, I don't want that. What do they have? Ooh, I don't want that. Ooh, I don't want that. So you're going, oh no. And they're going to make your life miserable. So find a place that has food that they like, other than McDonald's, right? I mean, something, these, you know, family-oriented restaurants where they have a menu that for children that's kind of respectable, do that. my opinion. Consider abandoning old customs. Abandoning old customs can be a good strategy if you're lonely or grieving, suggests Kathy Frank, MD, medical director of the Henry Ford Behavioral Health Outpatient Center. Experiment with different cultures' customs. Or invite isolated colleagues over and start some new traditions. And that's kind of an interesting idea. Yes. I got a friend. I'm not sure what he's going to do. I asked him what he's doing. We're both kind of bachelorettes. Okay. Let's see. His family is in New York, I believe. I'm not sure where they're at right now. Be a picky volunteer. Kind of an interesting concept. One or two holiday jobs. Learn how to delegate parts of a task, advises Richard Shadek, PhD, Director of Counseling Center at Pace University in New York. I live near the Rose Parade in Pasadena, and I know people who volunteer for the Rose Parade. And that can be overly consuming, that you've dedicated your whole life or good part of the year to putting on flowers on parades, but maybe you need to take a break from that. Or whatever that is, whatever that volunteer thing is. Maybe it's a mission. Maybe whatever it is. It's good to volunteer, but don't be obsessed with it. Take time for yourself and your family, too. Or maybe if your family joins in with you on it. Okay, moving on. Solicit help the smart way. I like this. Okay, what does that mean? Ask individually instead of emailing groups of colleagues, relatives, or friends, says Noah Goldstein, PhD, assistant professor of human resources In mass requests, recipients assume they don't need to volunteer to help someone. Someone else will do it. So if you set a whole thing out of emails for help or to do thing, now contact, the telephone is just a nice way of reaching out to people, calling people. Say, I would really like your help. I would like your assistance. I would like to spend some time with you personally, one-on-one. What you're asking for. I don't know what you're asking to do. Maybe go to lunch. Maybe to do something. Maybe get away for a while. Family's driving you crazy, right? Get away. Go tech free. I have to go that way. I have to learn to be a little more tech free. Constant cell phone buzzes and email alerts keep us in a perpetual fight or flight mode due to the burst of adrenaline. Who's calling me now? Who's texting me now? Who's emailing me now? Not only is this exhausting, but it contributes to mounting stress levels, especially in women. What better time to turn off the gadgets than during a holiday get-together or getting ready for a holiday get-together or maybe even for a day or two during the holidays? Oh, I know, it's a strange concept, right? If people call you, they'll leave a voicemail. If they're important, they'll leave a voicemail, and you can catch it. You can go check on them and go, I turn my phone off for a while. I'll get back to you. Enjoy spending time with family and friends without worry. It's kind of weird. We run to the phone to see who texts us, and it's the Sierra Club asking for money. Really, seriously. It's somebody wanting a political contribution. You're going, I dropped everything to see what it was, and it was that. Right? Oh, I have a caller. Oh, okay. Well, let me get back to I'll finish the article maybe another time, but this is kind of fun, about how to de-stress during the holiday season, messages of doing that. And I think it's important. If you can use one or two of those, it would be excellent. Let me take a call, and we'll see what Spirit has to say on a subject. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I was just listening.
Oh, you're just listening. Okay. Are you going to do any of those things that I suggested to de-stress during the holiday season?
I think so. The turning off of the phone sounds really good.
Yeah, it's phones and computers and tech. How many times do we go out with people and we have our phone on? And then the thing, buzzes us and we break our concentration with a nice time with people, right?
Yeah. It's all the time.
They're not going to, And if you go back 20 years ago, if you didn't have all that stuff, I don't know how old you are, but it's like, wait a minute. You know, somebody left a message at home. You go home. Oh, who left a message? And that was it.
Yeah, you had to connect and plug in with people and talk and still share yourself.
You know what I hear for you, go? Try this. Try the orange, the citrus smell this holiday season. Get something with a citrus smell. You know, you can get the essential oil, or you can make a thing with a, I'm sorry?
Have an essential orange essential oil.
Well, then use it this season for you. Use it, okay?
Okay.
Don't forget about it. That's why I got that, for you specifically to use that. For some reason, Spirit said, have her use that, okay?
What do they want me to do? Just sprinkle it all over stuff, like my bed?
You know, you can either you can sprinkle it on stuff, or you can get a diffuser, if you know what that is, right?
Yeah.
Or just put a little bit on something you're wearing, or put it behind the neck a little bit, or under the nose a little bit, okay? So you smell it for a while. Rubbing it under the nose a little bit, and you just smell it, and then you go, oh, that smells good. That, it's a refresher. It's kind of a refreshing kind of smell. Get you kind of refreshed a little bit, especially when you're going to go Christmas shopping or holiday shopping, whatever you call it. I'll just put that under my nose a little bit, and I feel better. Okay, try it.
Okay.
That's your tip. Take care.
Okay.
Okay, I'll put you back on hold.
All right.
What do I have left? Savor a spicy meal. Hot foods trigger the release of endorphins, the natural chemical that triggers feelings of euphoria and well-being. A little hot spice, a little cayenne pepper, right? A little curry, a little whatever you're using. Yeah, a little chili peppers, hot chili peppers. And just breathing it in is good, too. It's like, just try that. That's good for you, too. Okay, what's the next one? Dip into some honey. You'll get an instant kick and energy for a long haul. Plus, research shows that its antioxidant and antibacterial properties may improve your immunity. Here's a tip. The darker the honey, the more powerful the antioxidant punch. Now, here's another recommendation about honey if you're going to get into honey. Some people don't do it. Vegans don't do honey, believe it or not. Yeah, that's, choice, right? Try to find honey that's grown locally in your area, because the honey is going from bees, from pollen in your particular area, and that will help with your allergies. Use honey that's locally grown in your area, and it will help you with any of the allergy symptoms that you have if you use locally grown honey. Did I make that clear? That's kind of a cool thing. Try that. Get some honey, dark honey that's locally grown. It not only will help you feel, give you a little bit of energy and antioxidants, but also antibacterial, but also your allergies, because it's based on locally grown honey and pollen. Ha! Try that. How fun is that? Do I have time for another one? I don't think so. Maybe not. I think I only have a minute left. I like this one a little bit. Eat breakfast before you tank up on coffee. Caffeine in an empty stomach may cause blood sugar levels to spike, which can cause attention problems and irritability. So, eat your breakfast. Eat something and then drink coffee. I'm on kind of this program of one-third caffeine, two-thirds coffee, decaf. So I'm kind of basically pulling to decaf, just a little bit of caffeine in the morning. Doctor suggested that, and it seems to be okay. I'm not freaking out yet. I'm like, not enough caffeine. Okay, it's been fun. I'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Don't stress out. Use some of those tips. You know what? I'm going to post the article on Facebook, and so if you're with me on Facebook, you can read the article there for yourself. I love you guys. I really do. I really appreciate you listening. And if you need my help, you can contact me through my Blog Talk Radio page, and Spirit Guides can help you too. Have a good one. Bye.